Welcome to another episode of Take Heart, where our goal is to offer encouragement, give hope and insight so you can flourish in your journey as a special needs mom. As we explore monthly themes, share inspiring stories and practical tips, our desire is for you to feel connected and encouraged. All of our resources, including our entire written transcript of this episode, is available on our website at www.takeheartspecialmoms.com. There are also quick links to anything we mention in the show notes of this episode. Thank you for joining us today. Hi, this is Sarah Klein, and I am here with Carrie M. Holt and Amy J. Brown, and we are wrapping up this month's topic on perseverance. Without naming names, there are many leadership books and blogs, articles, podcasts, etc., that will give you many wonderful quotes and affirmations on perseverance, such as, and I'm going to paraphrase to avoid having to use the names. So here is one: perseverance is never quitting. Perseverance isn't about quitting when you're tired. It's about pushing through until the job is complete. Or here's one: tenacity pays off. How about persistence is believing in your purpose? Or don't let obstacles get in the way of your goals. Just persevere. And then there are quotes that treat adversity as opportunities for success. So let's not forget these. But little disclaimer, I have my own business and I actually have some of these in my office, so I do need to say that. But as a caregiver and for this episode, I just want to say that these kind of make me want to throat punch somebody. So I'm just going to say that out loud. I wanted to rip them down from my office. I have one specifically. I'm not going to tell you which one it was, but Stein says, "In the middle of adversity lies opportunity." Confucius says, "The gem cannot be polished without friction, nor man without trials." And then Lee Mitchell Hodges says, "Failure is often that early morning hour of darkness which precedes the dawning of the day of success." I mean, does anybody else just want to throat punch somebody right now? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Okay. So now here we are. A couple that I was looking at. These are some quotes that I actually just, I fist pumped the air and I thought, yes, these make sense to me as a caregiver. So maybe it was just the mood I was in, but who knows. But the first is from Marianne Rademacher. She's an American author and artist. And she says, "Courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is the quiet voice at the end of the day saying, I will try again tomorrow." And the second one is from Nelson Mandela. And seriously, who can argue with him? So, I mean, anybody who can say Nelson Mandela is not right is twisted. So he said, "It always seems impossible until it's done." So here's the point that I guess I would like to make. And it's, I feel that this is the cold, hard truth. As caregivers and moms to those with disabilities and special needs, perseverance, it's not always an affirmation, nor is it a cliche. It isn't something we get to chant to ourselves. It's not a pretty poster. You know, the ones with the steps that lead to nowhere with that guy in the briefcase that's like climbing the steps and he's going to make it. Like, it's that Monday that only he's going to get to the top. But it's difficult and it's something we simply have to do. There's nobody at the top of those stairs. We don't have a briefcase. Chances are we are covered in gunk and we have to keep going. There's nobody that's there to push us. There's no affirmation and there's no pretty poster on the wall.
And we're not going to get a gold medal either.
Right. There is no medal. I'm sorry. There's no medal. And it just seems impossible until we, yet again, get it done. And it's like, I love that quote by Nelson Mandela. It always seems impossible until it's done.
Yeah.
And we always get it done, ladies. We just do. But we have to persevere. We have to be persistent and we have the staying power. We have to be resilient 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Or do we? And that's what I want to talk about today, the do we. So Carrie and Amy, I want to have a discussion about what it means about maybe not persevering at times. What happens when we, as moms and caregivers, run out of that staying power? Maybe just for a moment, or we don't have the tenacity for a brief period of time, or the persistence, or the endurance, or whatever other adjective you want to throw in there. Because ladies, we are amazing. We are awesome, but we are also human, and we will run out of steam. So, Carrie, maybe you want to start. What does it look like when we run out of perseverance, or we just have that little blip in the evening? So was there a time when you can think of when you did like run out of it, what were the consequences, if there were any?
So the first thing that comes to mind is recently we were on vacation and my son got sick, which it always happens on vacation, right?
It's always vacation.
And I remember we got home and I had a million medical supplies to unpack and put away and a ventilator to set up. And, you know, when we travel, it's so much equipment. It's a pulse ox, it's oxygen, it's all that stuff. And I looked at my husband and I said, I can't. I cannot take him to urgent care. I knew he probably just, I think he had pink eye. That's what it was. I think he had pink eye in both eyes. It was pretty horrible. He gets it really bad. And I just looked at him and I said, I can't do it today. And honestly, I remember feeling so guilty about it, because what mom can't take her child to, you know, the ER or whatever. But I just was not in a place that I felt like I could advocate. I had been caring for a lot of people that week and, you know, doing some different things with our vacation. And it kind of reminds me of, like, you know, the stories about when you leave dad with the kids for the first time and, you know, the toddlers are running around and, you know, and the thing of it is it got done. Now, you know, did he ask all the questions I would have asked? And would, you know, I remember after that whole thing, I guess probably one consequence was the doctor prescribed one medication. There was like a different medication on the discharge paperwork than was actually called in to the pharmacy. So a couple of days later, I had to call and clarify, you know, but was it that big of a deal? No, it really wasn't. And honestly, it felt so good to say, you know what, you just do this. And I think what I had to give up was it had to be done my way. And so yeah. I think sometimes when we're persevering so much, it's because we're holding on to this has to be done my way. And I know we have listeners out there who are single moms and don't have people that they can rely on and just say, here you go. But, you know, maybe it's just letting things go in the hospital or not letting every detail be abided by in the IEP when it's safe or whatever it is. But you just have to let it go.
I think that's so good, Carrie. That's such a good point, because I think sometimes not persevering is just letting go of your own ideals of what has to happen. Sometimes it's not a matter of just things not getting done. It's just maybe not getting done as perfectly as what you think it needs to happen. And somehow, my son is at the age of 18 and he's not completely a lost cause. Not completely. But like, yeah, that, I mean, I think that's just a really good word, Carrie, it also helps too, that if you do have other people that will help, at some point you didn't know what you were doing either as a caregiver. Right. And at some point you got the wrong medication. At some point you didn't ask the right questions. And you learned, because you learned by not asking the right questions and calling in and having to redo things. And so your backup caregivers, the people that will help you, they'll learn too. And at least you only had to make that one phone call. You didn't have to set in urgent care. You didn't have to go. You still only had that one little task. Because let's be honest, it's not just pink eye when we have our children. It's
right,
a whole ordeal.
Yeah. So, yeah. And a disclaimer, it was not my husband's fault at all. It was the doctor's right. fault. She right. made a mistake. But, you know, it wasn't a big mistake. But, you know, whatever. But, I just had to let go of that. This has to be done my way. And it was very freeing too. But I think you also have to recognize, like, I recognized in my body and in myself that if I went with him, it was not going to be a good situation. I mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually just could not deal with it right then. And I would not have been, I would have been irritable. I could have taken it out on him or, you know, whatever it was. And I was in a space that it was not okay for me. Mm-hmm.
You could have made it worse.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Amy?
I don't really have a specific story like Carrie. I have more of a pattern that I've noticed about myself. And that is when things are really chaotic, I'm good in that situation. When there's a whole lot going on, maybe that's, I'm good in an emergency. I can handle all that. And I think a lot of moms do. But it's that those moments after the emergency where I feel like I have to get everything back to normal right now for my kids, other kids, for my home. And so I don't pause. And that is where my, I'm going to persevere and get the house back in order and the meals back in order and make sure everybody else is okay. And I don't give myself the space to go, wait a minute, this is, you've just been through this big thing. And you just want to go, you don't want it to be a blip for the rest of the week or for the other people in your family. And so that's when I would push myself too hard. And it would never turn out well because guess what? I would be crappy. Or I'd just kind of fall apart or I'd cry or whatever. And if I just would have taken that pause, it would have been way better for, first of all, myself, not just my other kids and my husband. I mean, they are important too, but really it would be better just for me to take that pause. So that's kind of a pattern that I've noticed. And I think that's another area of control. Whether it's guilt that, oh, I've just been dealing with all this stuff with this child and ignored everybody else. So I have to quickly get back to being normal mom with them. Or if it's whatever emotion that drives that behavior, it's not coming from a place of fullness. It's definitely coming from a place of scarcity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think also when we do that, that is when it's almost like we, you know, Sarah, you talked about this a little bit in your unrest podcast, like you don't want to deal with the emotions of the situation and then you're not grieving. And I'm not saying we can force grief, but when we're not stopping to notice the losses in those moments, then I think it's when it builds up and builds up and builds up. And then we have these huge meltdown moments later because all this grief has built up inside of us, all the emotions, the anger that we've not been aware with, where if we would allow ourselves a little bit more space, because Amy, I'm wired the exact same way. The recording of this podcast, my entire family was here for holidays and they all left. And immediately I just wanted to like do all the laundry and, you know, and honestly I was exhausted, but I also wasn't allowing myself the space to just take in like all the little moments of joy that happened in the last few days and being able to hold my new nephew and enjoy my nieces and nephews. But on the negative side, those negative emotions, just the grief and the sorrow keep building up and then it comes crashing down.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think this kind of goes into kind of another question, kind of the same question, but Amy, you kind of touched on it, is some of the signs when you know you're getting close to the end of your perseverance or when you are just, maybe when you're holding on, it's like that white knuckled grip to your perseverance or you're reaching your endurance limit is what I feel like. Mine's almost like a barometer and mine's at the top. I'm reaching my endurance limit. I know I am. But, and for some people, I think that they begin to catastrophize. I know like whenever oh my gosh. People are going to come over and they're going to look at my baseboards and they're going to see my baseboards are dirty. And then they're going to think that I can't take care of my children, or they're going to move my toaster and then they're going to see the crumbs under my toaster and they're going to think that I am an absolute slob. Like all of a sudden it goes from zero to I'm the worst person in the world. Like, and I don't know why it is that it, and that's just one of a million little things. And my husband, we were just actually talking about this the other night. He was like, it has to be exhausting to be in your brain. I'm like, it is exhausting to be in my head. And why? I don't understand. Like, he could have trash out in the living room and he'd be like, come on in, excuse the trash. But why do I have to be like, the coasters aren't stacked? What is going on? But like, so for, I know for me, that's just one of them. And then also I start to snap at people. I just get so stressed. I get so snapped. I snap at people. And that's one of the things that I do. I also noticed for TJ, he also has little quirks. He's on the spectrum, but he has certain things that I'm with him most of the time. So I talked about it before. He likes to have his blankets just straightened. He, you know, will you straighten my blanket? Will you get me water? Will you do, he can't carry things on his own or that kind of thing. And so it's an ask that he needs. And I can tell whenever I am getting to the end of my endurance level, his asks start to go down. And so I will notice that he will not ask for water. And I will be like, are you thirsty? Yeah, I didn't want to ask for more water. Mm. And he will be laying in bed and has not drank a drop of water for an hour because he doesn't want to bother me. So what am I persevering for? Am I persevering and not asking for help? Why? What is the motivation behind for me pushing through? Is it because I have to, because there's no one there to help me? Or is it because I'm too proud to ask somebody around me for help? What is the motivation behind that? And I have to ask myself some really tough questions. So sometimes I have to ask my husband, can you be on water duty tonight? Sure, I can get water. He's always like, I'm fully capable of straightening the blankets and getting the water. He's more than happy to do that. It's just sometimes it's just a matter of me having to ask. And so I've noticed sometimes the consequences of me pushing through, it's not just me that is negatively impacted. It's those around me that I love. And so sometimes pushing through isn't just, it doesn't just impact you. It impacts others around. And I also think that it doesn't allow those around me the chance to love him the way that they want to love him.
I think we think, the kids aren't picking up on this, but they do. Everybody around us does. And it makes me think when you said that, like, what's the motivation? All those quotes you read at the beginning, it's kind of a narrative of our lives as moms. And in our culture, just like, buck up, let's get it done. This is what success looks like. And I think that's very harmful at times, especially in a situation where relationship is hindered because we're pushing through. We may not realize that, but that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is probably a whole other podcast. So, this is a rabbit trail we probably don't need to go down. But we also live in a society that the first question out of your mouth is, what do you do for a living? And so people can say all the time, I can't do what you do. But on the other hand, they'll say, well, what do you do? Well, I'm a full-time caregiver. Oh, they don't know how to handle that. They don't know how to respond to you. And so a lot of people, they don't know what goes into that. One, they're too comfortable. They don't want to have that discussion. So it is a very tough discussion to have with people. And we don't have that briefcase and we don't have that set of stairs. So we don't fit into the success mold, but we have our own set of perseverance success. It just looks very different. And ours, like Carrie, you said, we don't get a reward at the end of the day. We don't get this hefty paycheck. We don't get a bonus. We don't get any of that. And so we have a very different set of standards that we have to do. And we have to really watch what ours is, because it just has a very different outcome if we don't do it just right. So.
And I think, Amy, you're right. I mean, somewhere along the way, we've just believed the lie that our worth and value comes from getting it all done, checking all the boxes off, doing it whatever the right way is in our mind. And sometimes I think that's to the sacrifice of the relationship with that child or someone else, because we're not willing to let them in to help, let them into our pain. And I've had a similar situation with my son too, where I realized that he stopped talking to me about something that had been a consistent conversation that we had had for a long time. And I thought, did he stop asking me about this because I got tired of talking about it with him and I was communicating that through my face and my voice and my body language? And we've had some conversations about it since then, because I can always remember telling my kids when they were little, people are more important than things. And as I've gotten older, I've realized that that phrase has turned to people are more important than getting my to-do list done and pushing through. The relationship is more important than that.
Can I add on that relationship piece? Because, you know, I have adult kids and they're not in the home and everything. And another way, though, that you can honor the relationship is saying, I really want to have this conversation with you, but I can't right now. And I've had to learn to say that with my adult kids because they don't live here and I always want to be available, but to be able to say, and I think that's another way. Sometimes we push through in that and maybe we're not as present as we could be. So just as an encouragement to when there's hard conversations or even normal conversations and you're just done, it's okay to be done in that situation too, because we've consistently been present for our kids. So the one time you go, I can't answer this right now, I promise I will call you later and we'll talk about this. That was a hard hurdle for me to jump, but it has given me a lot more space to be actually in the conversation and not distracted.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good point, Amy. For those that have maybe, you know, when we're talking about the siblings of those with disabilities and special needs, because my oldest is in college as well. And as they get older, I have learned the same thing where, just to be able to, it's okay to look at your children and say, I have no idea how to navigate this conversation. And I don't know what I'm doing, but we're going to figure out together. I've looked at my son before and I'm like, all I know is that I love you and I want to do right by you. And we're going to figure it out together. So you be honest with me and I will be honest with you and we'll figure it out. And we have laughed about it because it's like, we are all in such a weird dynamic. There's not a rule book to parenting. There is definitely not a rule book to parenting children with disabilities and then siblings of children with disabilities. And so sometimes it's okay to look at your children and say, I don't know, but we're going to figure it out together. And I think that my oldest, if you look back, I think on our siblings episodes, I think that our children appreciate the fact that it teaches them, it gives them the courage to say, you know what, it's okay. As a parent, I'm not going to have it all figured out either. So,
but I think I want to point out in both of your situations is that there's still attunement there. You're still saying, I see you, but this can wait, or we'll figure this out together, or whatever that situation might be. And that's what our kids need the most. All of our children is that attunement, but it's okay to say, you know, I'm not in a space that I can handle this right now, but we will come back to this and talk about it. Yeah.
And you do follow up. Yeah. You do follow up with them. Yeah. But
yeah.
All right. So we all have our signs and I think we can all agree that maybe mental breakdowns and I don't like the term mental breakdown, so I don't even know why I just said that. But I have one of mine, and I would like to do a little shout out to my friend Robin, who I just had my little crying fest with at the coffee shop this last weekend. So that is one that I know with mine is whenever I try to, some of the things that I will notice about myself is whenever I get to the point where I don't feel like I can push through, I have noticed about myself is that I will start to avoid the people that speak truth into my life because I know that they are going to look at me and say, what are you doing to take care of yourself? And I don't want to hear what they have to say because they're going to say very hard things to me. And Robin is one of those. And she said some very hard things to me this last weekend. And I was like, and I knew all I was going to do was cry for like a whole hour. And I did. But, you know, there's some things too that when you, it's okay. I think part of perseverance, my point with that is part of perseverance is to sometimes you're going to cry. That's part of perseverance. Sometimes it is having those moments where you just say, I can't do it. I cannot take him to urgent care. I cannot do it. that's part of persevering. That's part of knowing your limits. And I think that that's part of pushing through, is because if you don't know your limits, you're not going to be able to push through the next time. You're going to make it that much worse. And this one problem is now going to be five. And I think that that's one thing that has helped me a lot. And so speaking of that, so what are some practical things? Now that we've talked about all the things that we have created messes for ourselves, or the weird things that we've done, what are some practical things that we can do that protect ourselves from, well, like perseverance burnout, or like when what we just talked about, what starts to happen when we start to get angry or snap at people or anything like that? What are some of the things that we can proactively do to help ourselves not reach those, our end limits?
I would say for me, it starts in my body and ends in my body, and I ignore my body like nobody's business. So what I'm learning is I just need to remove, like, my tendency is to be a car with the gas pedal stuck on go until I just can keep going for a really long time, but it's to my detriment. So I'm learning to ask, what does my body need here in this moment? Because normally it is a body thing for me. Maybe I need to go drink water or go lay down in a dark room or eat or go for a walk around the block. I can ignore a sore headache and a sore neck for weeks, and that's my body saying, you're carrying too much. But I can ignore it. So I have a practice of every day kind of weighing in, like looking like, what's going on in my body today? Okay, my neck's sore again today. And I'm trying to be aware of that, because that, for me personally, is where it shows up. And also, I can think of pretty quick actions to take if I can get my brain there. So that's kind of just something that I try to do. Also, what you said, Sarah, I have a couple friends that I will say, now, do not let me do this, or I want you to come get me if I start doing this. And sometimes you just need a friend to go, you realize everything you're saying isn't real. Like, you're like, you've made something. I think friends that can tell you that are gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, Hot Mess Express, right. It is time.
So those are,
yeah.
Go ahead, Carrie.
Yeah. I think for me, I'm realizing that I get to the point where two things happen. I stop caring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And any other thing of empathy that requires for me to care about it, I just feel like giving up, and I retreat. I find the things that are going to give me the quickest comfort, whether it's sugar, my phone. And I feel like this is such a thing that is so in process for me. I don't want to say that I have this figured out or I have answers, because I don't, because even today I'm realizing that I was getting kind of overwhelmed, but it's because I am letting my life be run by the fire to put out on my phone, the tasks to get done in my email. And it's just this constant 24/7 access to all the things that are needing to get done, and I am not doing a good job of setting those limits. I think too, it's just diving into, you know, when those emotions rise up, the anger and all that kind of stuff, is starting to ask myself questions, journaling about it, and even kind of making notes. I started seeing a Christian counselor a few months ago, and I started to just write some things down to talk to her about the next time I'm going to see her. And so I can process that a little bit deeper and kind of get into, you know, the why of this and what do I need to do, and what's the lie that I'm That's believing that I need to ask God for help in. So,
yeah. To respond to what you had said that you stopped caring, and knowing you, I can't even imagine that you stop caring. So that was a phrase that you need to rephrase, because I can't even imagine you stop caring about anything. But that you probably feel like you stop caring about stuff. And that I can completely relate to that, because you just get to the point where you're like,
you detach. I'm done. It's a detachment.
I'm done. It is. It's a detachment. Mm-hmm. You're like, the whole house can burn down. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't care. You want cookies for dinner? Absolutely. Eat 50. I really don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. Mine is, I get to the point I know whenever I feel like I have to persevere, it's usually because I have taken on too much. I have said yes to too much. That is my big thing. I don't want to let anybody down. And I have decided that I have said yes, 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 because I am avoiding feeling. That is like what we talked about in my rest episode. That is my thing. I am a classic avoider of feelings. So I have a 10-10-10 rule, and I have it in my office on a little pushpin little board. So my 10-10-10 rule is if I feel like I have to just push through, does it matter in 10 minutes? Is what I'm doing right now, is it going to matter in 10 minutes, 10 days, or 10 months, 10 years? If I can keep going, is this going to matter in 10 minutes? If the answer is no, I don't do it. Is it matter in 10 minutes? Yes. Is it going to matter in 10 days? No. Then that can get set aside. And I keep doing that until what I'm doing. So it's like whenever it comes to my health, I have set my health aside for so long because everything, I'm like, oh, I'll take a walk later. I'll exercise later. I'll get back to the gym later. That's going to matter in 10 minutes. It might not matter in 10 minutes. You know, okay, fine. It's not going to matter in 10 minutes, but it's going to matter in 10 days. It's going to matter in 10 years. 10 months. It's going to matter in 10 years. And so that's one of the things that I've been trying to implement back again is that 10-10-10 rule. And I think we lose sight of that because when you start to persevere, you're looking at what's right in front of you and you're not looking at the long term. And I've been trying lately too, whenever I persevere, I've been trying to remove myself out of the equation. I've been trying to put God back in the equation. What does God want me at? What is his view on this right now? Because I think when you're trying to persevere, sometimes you're taking... sometimes you can't. Sometimes it's just, it is what it is. You have to do whatever it is, the medical thing that you have to do right then. It doesn't matter what 10-10-10 rule, whatever it is. But sometimes it is just a matter of just doing what you have to do right then and there. But sometimes I think you can look at the long term and unapologetically eliminate things on your plate that don't matter. And it is going to disappear. It will disappoint people. And I think one of the things that I am learning is boundaries are so important, and everybody expects and supports your boundaries until they realize that they might be on the outside of that fence. And when they realize, they're like, oh my gosh, yeah, girl, you do too much. You need to set some boundaries. You need to set some boundaries. And then they realize they're on the outside of that boundary. Oh, no. I wanted to be on the inside of that fence. So I think one of the things I'm learning is that I'm learning to set my own boundaries alone. And I am looking at it. What are the boundaries that I need to make my life sustainable from my point, my family's point, and from a God's point of view? What do I need to do? And I think it's working. I think slowly but surely, I'm making tons of mistakes, but you know, slowly but surely you're going to get there. But
earlier, Sarah, when you were talking about just, you know, like just God being there, and in the very beginning when you were listing off all those quotes, for some reason it popped into my head because I'm so musically inclined. There's a song by Mercy Me about how it talks about, you know, they always say, always look on the bright side, you know, or the appropriate cliche is that it's easier said than done. And he said, I don't want to hear what I'm going through is just for a season, or that my glass should be half full when it's in a million pieces. But the chorus goes on to say that when it's broken in pieces is when the light of God shines through. And I think in some of this, we forget that this perseverance cannot come from us, and it has to come from the strength of the Lord. And even when we feel like we have shattered everything into a million pieces is when the Lord just goes, here you go. I'm going to fill in the cracks. I'm going to shine through this brokenness. And we release that control. And then God's light is shining through.
Yeah. I think it comes down to what are you persevering for?
Yeah.
Who are you persevering for? And Yeah. Who's calling you to that?
Right. And are we trying to do it all on our own? And are trying to control everything and make our life look good and feel better because we've done everything right? Or are we actually just loving Jesus and letting him show us what he really wants us to do? Not what we think we should be doing, but what he really is asking us to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's... I love this question, and I hate this question both, so I'm going to ask it anyway. What is the one thing that you would go back and tell yourself about pushing through the tough days or the tough moments when you first started this journey as a special needs mom or a mom to a child with disabilities? What was the one thing to yourself?
And I want to especially talk to moms of kids with behavioral issues. You have time. I think in the midst of behavior, you're just like, well, we got to fix all this now. And I often tell people, you don't have to fix every behavioral problem. Pick one and some let go, because we forget that their brains may be marred by trauma, but they're still developing. And what you see now may not be what you see in 2 years from now, or 3 years from now, or 6 months from now. So you have, I wish that I would have, someone would have told me that this child with all these behavioral issues had an immature nervous system, that some things wouldn't get better, but some things would. So I didn't, I wish I wouldn't have used all my firepower trying to put out behavior that probably I did that because I was being judged by my kid's behavior, but you have time. You don't have to solve it all now. And you can wait to fill out the form. And to, I mean, I think that's what I would definitely say, because that's been my downfall, to say I have to do it all right now.
I think one thing that I would go back and tell myself about pushing through or persevering is just that I would ask myself this question. Are the expectations that you are placing on yourself and that list of to-dos that you think that you have to get done, is that coming from you, from other people, or is this what God expects of you? Because so many times we place so many things on ourselves, society does, or what we think others are expecting of us to do, and it's actually not really what the Lord wants us to do. And so I think sometimes we are persevering in areas that aren't actually necessary, if that makes sense. So that's probably the one thing that I would go back and tell myself, is just go to the Lord. First of all, ask him for strength. Let him shine through the broken pieces. Remember, things don't have to be perfect. And to ask him, to ask the Lord, what is it that you really want me to do in this situation? Do I need to see this task completely through, or can I let it go, give it to somebody else? And just setting those boundaries, Sarah, like you talked about, the, you know, is this important in 10 minutes, in 10 days, 10 months, or 10 years from now? Is this going to have eternal value and worth? So that's the advice that I would give myself going back in the early days of this journey. So I want to go ahead and pray to close us out for the podcast today. This has been such a good conversation. Thank you, Sarah, for leading it. Dear Lord, I just ask that you would be with our listeners and that you would help them and give them strength when they feel like their courage has run out, their strength has run out, that they have an unlimited supply in you. I just ask that they will seek your face and learn to understand their limits and set appropriate boundaries to the things that they're saying yes to, and to know what they should say no to, and also to remember that you love them more than they can ever imagine, and that you are the God who perseveres above all. You have a perfect plan for them and their family. In Jesus' name, amen.